Now, this morning, I want to share with you a message that I've titled, Avoiding Life's Biggest Mistakes. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. As you're turning your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, you will discover here that this was King Saul's final battle against the Philistines. It is a battle in which he was injured, mortally injured, and whereby, rather than allowing the Philistines to conquer him, he falls on his own sword. Now listen what the word of the Lord says here. Starting with verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 10, Saul died. But it goes on to tell us what happened. Because Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord, even consulted a medium, that is a witch or a warlock, for guidance. And he did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. I want you to consider with me for the next few moments this morning how to avoid life's biggest mistakes. You know, I often hear people speak of the biggest mistake of my life. And many times when they speak of the biggest mistake of their life, they will say the marriage that ended in a bitter divorce. Or they will say that business partnership that went sour. Or the dream house that they purchased, which became a nightmare. The car they bought just happened to be a lemon. The sure deal investment that bellied up, taking them into financial ruin. The motorcycle they could not live without. The college degree they now possess without a job or even a hope of a job within their field of education. Friends, I've discovered the biggest mistakes in life, whether they be the mistakes we read about in the Bible, whether we read about them in history, or whether they are the mistakes we have personally made in our lives. They are directly related to the fact we stepped out and pursued plans without consulting God. The common theme amongst all of these would be stepping out and pursuing plans without consulting God. And that's exactly what King Saul did. You know, decisions that are driven, they're driven by the lusts of life. Matter of fact, every time I enter into a Cold Stone Creamery, you know, I find that lust kicks in. First of all, I find, you know, the fact that there's all these flavors, and I'll just tell you from personal experience, you can't go wrong on what I call the founder's favorite, and what they call the founder's favorite. Next time, get it. You'll love it. I'll promise you that. But you know, the next thing you have to decide after you choose the flavor, you have to choose the size you're going to have. And they have unique sizes. You know, most places you go to, it's small, medium, or large. But Cold Stone has unique names for the sizes of their ice cream they serve. They have the like it, the love it, and got to have it. Now, you guessed it. Every time I go in, it's got to have it. You know, how often in life we're driven by the got to have it desires, and nothing else counts. Nothing else counts, including God and asking Him for wisdom and direction in our lives. Invariably, whenever we leave God out of our decisions, we find ourselves in some of the biggest messes of our lives. Now, many of these poor decisions we make in life, they're based upon what I would say a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge in several very key areas. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed. They have been destroyed. They've made wrong decisions. They have made bad decisions. They have come to ruin by a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge. Friend, I want you to understand this morning that God created you. I want you to understand God not only created you, but God loves you. I want you to understand this morning that not only that God creates you and that God loves you, He has a personalized plan for your life. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 says this, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Friend, there is nothing like being called by name by your Creator God. God not only created you, God has a specific plan for your life. You are unique in every way. DNA over the years has proven the uniqueness of mankind. There is no two individuals on planet Earth, even with the 7.5 billion of us that are here now and all the billions that have preceded us, there are no two with exactly the same DNA structure. And it is out of our DNA that God creates, forms, and shapes us within the womb. The Bible says it is in the womb that God knits us together. And when He knits us together, we are a unique individual. And when God created you as a unique individual, He has a plan that is unique for your life. One that is not one size fits all. God created you so He knows your makeup, He knows the skill set, He knows your desires, He knows your abilities. He gave you all of these things, but in addition to that, He's got a plan that is unique for your life. And until you find that spot, we call it the sweet spot, we call it the center of God's will, until we find ourselves there, we're always kind of just moving about trying to find our purpose and our place in life. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, listen what it says. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." I want you to personalize this. Put your name in there. "I know the plans I have for you." Put your name right there. "Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." Three times in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, God speaks of His plans for mankind. And He says, "I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." God has a plan for your life that is as unique as the DNA structure that makes you up physically. Now, the devil works hard at trying to conceal from us this fact. You see, he wants us to live in confusion, and this confusion comes from not knowing our Creator and our purpose in life. I love what it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers." Life was not meant, dear friends, to be an independent venture, but rather was meant to be a partnership with God. The Bible says the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. It is so good to know that God, the one that created us, the one that has plans for us, is the God that's going to give us direction day by day. So the Bible says the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered of the Lord. There is nothing like hearing God give you instruction and give you a direction in your life. It all comes as we wait upon Him, realizing He created us, He loves us, He has a unique plan for our life that no one else can fill. No more than anyone else's DNA is exactly the same as yours. You're unique. God's plan for your life is unique as what you are. So the Bible says, the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered of the Lord. God will give us our marching orders. He will give us our steps. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Friends, we can avoid the biggest mistakes in life simply by asking God for direction, beginning every morning with God, saying, "Lord, what is your plan for me today?" You see, we get so driven. We know our routines. We know generally which road we're going to take on our way to work. We know what time we have to be there. We know a little bit about what the day holds. No matter what our day is, we know that behind the scenes, God is saying, I created this day, I created you, I have a plan for you, and I will use you in a way today that is going to be as special and as unique as you are. So God has a plan for your life, and God has a design for your day. And God has promised He's going to lead us, He's going to guide us, He's going to direct us if we'll only ask. Saul went wrong. Saul ended up in this sad place, falling on his own spirit. Why? Because he rejected the word of the Lord, and he rejected God's plan, and he rejected God's ways. And in so doing, he even sought out wisdom and direction from a witch, from Endor, seeking wisdom, guidance, and direction. God said, that's not the way to find it. Friend, let me tell you, you're not going to find direction in a seance. What you're going to find is a demon. You're not going to find God there at all. And I realize some of you in this place today, you feel like there's many different sources to tie into the spiritual. And I would agree with you this morning. There are many different ways to tie into the spiritual, but there's only one way to tie into God, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So what is it that holds most people back from God's greatest plan for their life? I would say it's pride, and oftentimes it's also not only pride, it's rebellion. You know, the pages of the Bible are peppered by men and women who made a mess of things by not listening to God. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, it says this, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Have you ever been traveling down the road and you said, you know, I think I know the way. I don't need the map. I don't need to listen, you know, to Siri. I don't need to listen to, you know, the GPS. I know the way. There's a way, the Bible says, that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of destruction or the ways of death. In flight training, one of the first things I was taught was the danger of what is called spatial disorientation. Spatial disorientation can literally cause a pilot to think that he is ascending when he is descending. You say, well, how is that possible? Spatial disorientation confuses your mind and your senses to the point that you can actually feel like you're going up, ascending, when you're descending. Matter of fact, I believe many of us in this room, we remember back when John F. Kennedy Jr. flew his plane directly into the Atlantic Sea, killing himself, wife, and another member of the family. When they began to do the study, what they began to realize, he was suffering from spatial disorientation, and he thought he was ascending, but in reality, he was descending. That is how messed up we can become in life. The enemy begins to make up seem down, down seem up, right seem left, left seem right. The enemy will confuse you by every means he can. And he wants to cause you to go down dead-end paths. He wants you to make mistakes that seemingly are irreparable in your life. Worldly wisdom says, how can it be wrong when it seems so right? I'll tell you why it can seem so right when it's wrong, because we are messed up with sin. And when you're messed up with sin, the enemy begins to cause the old life and the old patterns once again to become realistic to us, and we believe this is the way to go. And the Bible says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, it is death. I'm sure if you were to go through the scriptures and look at the accounts I'm going to share with you in just a moment, you would discover that these men actually thought they were right when they were absolutely wrong. Let me give you a few examples. I'm sure it felt right to put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart and then have it pulled by a yoke of oxen. But it caused the death of Uzzah. If you were to follow on, you'd find it felt right, I'm sure, to King David to number the troops of Israel. If you're going to go into battle, you want to know how many troops you have, right? Isn't that the common thing we'd all want to know? How many are on my side? How many are on their side? I want more on my side than on theirs. And God said, don't count the troops. If I'm with you, no matter if you are outnumbered 10-1, I will always bring victory. But in the midst of all of this, David said, no, I need to know how many. So he counts the number of the troops of Israel. And as a result of that, 70,000 men die. It's as though God is saying, you're putting your hope in numbers. See what can happen to numbers. And 70,000 men died overnight. I'm sure that Joshua didn't think he needed any advice when attacking that small little village of Ai. Ai was such a small, insignificant little village. After all, they had just taken the city of Jericho. The walls came crumbling down. They were absolutely victorious over the city. And so in the back of his mind, Joshua probably thought, you know, we can handle this without consulting God. We don't need to go to God. We don't need God's help with this one. This is a small, little, insignificant village. But 3,000 men of Israel died, and they left on the run, absolutely defeated. Israel's pact with the Gibeonites that you read about in Joshua chapter 9. In many ways, when you look at this, this decision, this colossal mistake, still affects the land of Israel and the people of Israel to this very day. Listen what it says in Joshua chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. It says, the men of Israel sampled the provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. I want you, the next time you're making your way, especially through the Old Testament, I want you just to take an underline every time you come across that phrase, but did not inquire of the Lord. And I promise you, every time you read that phrase, you'll discover there's a mess that follows after the fact. And so the Bible says, the men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. It was a setup by the Gibeonites. They were going to take Israel if they could. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them and let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. And you'll discover that decision was one of the worst decisions that Israel could have ever made. They absolutely made friends with the enemy, and the enemy had no good intentions for them. Now, friends, each of these colossal mistakes could have been avoided if they would have only sought God's advice and God's input. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 12. This parable is a warning against making plans without inquiring of God. Listen to this story. It says, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. It is a bumper crop. This guy's crops are so magnificent. They're coming in what we call bumper crop, one after another, to the time he doesn't even have a place to put all of his goods. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. Notice, this is what I will do. This is what he thought. This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones, and I will store my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things stored up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Go into retirement. You've got more than you'll ever be able to spend. And so I'm going to just quit working. I'm going to live off from all that I've got stored up. And listen what the word of the Lord says in the next verse here. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This poor guy didn't know that in the midst of his planning for retirement and claiming that everything that was within his hands was his, he was self-made, he doesn't need to talk to anyone else, he needs to find advice from no one else, he knows it all, he's done it all, he has it all, everything I need is right in my hand. But the Bible says, this poor guy didn't know, in the midst of all of his planning, that his casket was already in stock, and that the flowers for his funeral were already in full bloom. Friends, pride, self-will, rebellion, I've got to have it, spirit of the age, has caused the ruin of many. Many say, I'm not going to ask God. I already know what God is going to say, and I want my way, and I'm going to have my way, regardless of what God says. King Saul, friends, he became so hard-hearted that he did not even want to hear what God had to say. So he sought out the psychic, which was a witch from the city of Endor. Look at verse 13 again of 1 Chronicles 10. Saul died because, if you want to know why he died, the because tells us the why. Saul died. Matter of fact, you're going to hear of individuals in the next week that will have died. And there will be the because they had cancer, because this, because of the other thing. Here it is. This man, Saul, died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord. He didn't even want to know the word of the Lord, and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. He did not seek God for wisdom, direction, and guidance. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Pride is what kept King Saul from seeking God's wisdom. Now, how do we avoid life's biggest mistakes then? We all know the mistakes in life can be made. Someone has said this, the biggest mistake in life is to make no mistakes. For the person that is trying to live life to make no mistakes at any time ever, probably is going to be so cautious, they're going to be frozen and they're unable to make any decision. They make no plans. They do nothing in life. But listen what the word of the Lord would say. First of all, the Bible admonishes us to seek wisdom from God. And this wisdom is found in the Bible. The first thing we ought to ask when making a decision about life, whether it's big decision, little decision, is to find out what does God's word have to say about this decision. Friends, I've discovered there has not been a decision that I've ever made in my life that I have not found something in God's word that hasn't given me guidance. Many times it has not been an exact replica of the thing I am facing, but nonetheless, when I seek God's wisdom from the Word, He gives to us the overall picture of how to make life work and what is acceptable in God's sight and what is going to bring the blessing of the Lord and what's going to bring the curse of God upon our lives. There's not a decision that you'll ever make that you will not find in some way, form, or shape God addressing that in the Word. The Bible deals with the most important questions of life. Relationships, how to deal with relationships, how to deal with partnerships in life, how to deal in business, how to handle money, how to invest, how to do marriage. Remember, marriage was God's idea, not the state's idea. And if you're struggling, the state will not help you. The state will help you divorce, but God will help you do the right thing and live together under His blessing. God will come to your aid. And so the Bible talks about marriage. It talks about parenting. It talks about all of these vital areas of life. So before you act, the first thing you want to do, God, what do you have to say about this? And if you want to know what God has to say, here's the best place to find out, right here. Find it in the Word. Amen. Now, secondly, once you've sought the Word, pray. Be directed by God into His perfect will. You know, the Bible says God will guide us. He will direct us. He will lead us. I'm so glad. Jesus was a perfect example of this. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours away from His crucifixion, He is praying and He's saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You sent me on a mission to seek and to save the lost. and I realize this mission is going to take me to the cross, if there be any other way that this can be accomplished without the cross, let it be so. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want is what I want in my life. And he prayed. You'll find before he chose disciples, he spent all night in prayer. Before great ministry, he prayed and prayed and sought the face of God. Pray to be directed by God into his perfect will. There's no place like it. Remember, God has great plans for you and great plans for your future. And there's no one in this entire world. There is no one in this sanctuary where God's plan is a replica, one for another. I am so grateful for our pastoral staff and our pastoral team and each and every one of them. They all have unique calling. They all have unique giftings. And together, combined together, we make a wonderful team. But apart from that, we find that there could be, you know, my skill set, this skill set, and, you know, this calling, that calling is superior to the other. No, it's not. Whatever God has called you to do, that is the best place and the most exciting place to be in life, right where God plants you. Amen? In Psalm 62, David writes, "My soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him." David is saying, I will wait upon God, the one that created me, the one that loves me, the one that has a blueprint for my life, a blueprint for my day, so I don't have to waste away my day or try to figure out on my own, because I know that I can make some big mistakes trying to do this on my own. So I come back to God, is what David is saying. I wait upon him. Matter of fact, David said this, early in the morning will I rise up and I will wait upon the Lord. He said, before the day is all messed up, before the day is underway, I will start my day with God. Let me encourage you. When you wake up tomorrow morning and before your feet ever touch the floor, before you allow your feet to literally touch the floor of your bedroom, say, God, here I am. I want to do your will today. I want to live in your blessing. I want to be where you want me to be in the time you want me to be there. And yes, we have predetermined places that we must be for predetermined amounts of time. We have responsibilities, but I'm telling you this, when you begin to listen to the voice of God, you watch how your everyday routine will come alive. God has a plan for you, an exciting plan for your life. And this plan of God, he wants to reveal it to you. So David said, I will only listen to God. I will get up in the morning and I will wait upon him, for my expectations, the expectations, the plan for the day comes from him. You see, time spent in prayer before making a decision can cause, it can actually keep you rather from years and years of regret. Last of all, let me encourage you. First of all, you're going to seek God's word. Second, you're going to pray and ask God to guide and direct your footsteps. But thirdly, you're going to seek godly counsel. You know, from seasoned men and women of God that you have watched, you've seen their life, and you see the direction, you see the purpose they're living, and you want to know how to live this thing out, seek out godly counsel. You know, the Bible says, in the counsel of many, there is wisdom. But many times we want to do this thing on our own, and it's a pride thing. We don't need anyone else. We don't need anyone showing us the way. Friends, I've come to realize I'll take all the help I can get in every realm of life I can get. You know, someone once told me, well, Christianity is a crutch. I said, well, if it's a crutch, give me two of them, all right? I'm not going to hobble through life. I'm going to run on my crutches through life. Amen? We're going to make a difference for God. Now, you may say this morning, well, Pastor, you know, I've already made a big mess of my life. Now what? Friend, I want you to know, even in the midst of it all, God is a God of restoration. God will redirect your path. He will give you a brand new start. You know, God is the God of the second chance, and I'm so glad for that, because most of us messed up the first chance right away. It didn't take long. But God has a second chance for you. And he's saying, will you humble yourself? We acknowledge that I created you, that I've got a plan for your life, and that no one can come to the Father, and no one can press through to the plan that God has in store except through Jesus Christ. When you come to know Him, and when you begin to rely upon Him, and when you ask Him through His Word, and through prayer, and through godly counsel to guide your life, you'll be amazed at what God will do. God will direct your paths. Friends, God has a big plan for each and every one of us. And today He's calling us. Will you wait upon me? Will you allow me to direct your path? Will you allow me to show you the way? And I don't know about you, but I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.